We're about to begin Chodesh Adar. And in Svarim HaKadoshim, we all know it's brought down the Gvaldik Mazel of Chodesh Adar. The Gvaldik Simen Toiv and Bracha that there is in this Chodesh. The Yeshuas that come in a Chodesh Adar. But the emes is, there's a halacha that's brought down in Shulchan Aruch about Chodesh Adar. How we're supposed to shtel tzu to Chodesh Adar. In Simen Tov Reish Pei Vav, the Mishnah Berurah over there at the end of the Simen quotes, Mishenichnas Adar Marbin B'Simcha. When Adar enters, you have to be Marbe in Yisimcha. But so interesting is, it doesn't tell you what you're supposed to do. This is a Gemara in Tainus on Chav Tesam and Aleph. And we see it's being brought down halach and Shulchan Aruch. But yet, how am I supposed to go be marba b'simcha? What am I supposed to actually do to be yotze this chiyuv? That's not recorded here of what should be done. And we all know simcha is not a simple thing. There's no switch that we have that now, okay, it's Adar, let me turn on the switch of simcha and I'm only going to be happy. And you have to be marba b'simcha, so I turn the dial of simcha instead of having it at 5, now all of a sudden you turn it up to 10. Mm-hmm. We're not robots, we don't have these switches and dials, and life doesn't work like that. But yet I do have an obligation in Shulchan Aruch that when Adar comes in, I have to be marba b'simcha. So how is a yid supposed to be yotze this chiyuv? What's expected of us to go ahead and shtel tzu properly to Chodesh Adar? The Ramchal writes in the beginning of Mesilas Yesharim, Perek Aleph, words that are very uncomfortable for us to accept. Although, when we read these words, we know how true it is. But Lamaisa, it's hard for us to accept it. What does the Ramchal write? He says, Tira be'emes. You could see with truth. Shekvar lo yuchal shum bal seichel. There's no intellectual individuals, Lahamed, that will ever believe, Shetachlis bria sa'odom hu matzavei b'olam hazeh. There's no one intellectually will ever believe that the purpose of life is for this temporary world. Ki mahim chaya odom b'olam hazeh. What is life in this world already here in Olam Hazeh? Mihu shesameach, who's really happy, v'sholev mamish and tranquil 100%, but Olam Hazeh. Yimei shenei seidim shivim shana, a person lives, like the Pasuk says, 70 years, and what's it full with? Robon omo v'oven, the Pasuk says, which means, kama minei tzar v'chaloyim. A person has so much distress, pains, diseases, machoyevim, trodois, disturbances in your mind, v'achakol zois, and after all that, hamoves. Echod minei elef, there's one in a thousand, lo yumatze, you won't even be able to find that one in a thousand, that yarbe ha'oilom loy, hanois v'shalva amitis. Maybe you could possibly find one in a thousand people that actually have the world giving them all the hanois and tranquility and simcha that a person could vision and imagine. It's quite clear from these words in the Ramchal that when Chazal are telling us Mishenichnas Adar Marbin B'Simcha, there's no way that what's the obligation on the table is anything about this physical world. Because, like the Mesil Sharm is telling us here, the Ramchal, it doesn't exist. If I want to turn up the knob, the dial, from 5 to 10, and happiness, no food, no drinks, no parties, nothing's going to go give it to me. Even if you turn on your music a little louder, it's going to give you some more temporary happiness, but that's about it. True simcha is not from these things. So how am I supposed to be Yotze Mechiv at Shulchan Aruch Mechayev me? Mishenichnas Adam Marbim Besimcha. What am I supposed to be doing? I want to share with you, I'm going to take a story that a gifter, a Matcha gifter, the Rishiva tells Cleveland, used to always say over about himself. When he was young and he was in Telz, Lithuania, he used to talk about the spatzir, means the walk, that he used to take. He used to always say over how he used to walk at the Telz of Rosh Yeshiva. He said, on that spatzir, that walk that we used to take, the way it worked is that it was quiet. We walked. We took a spatzir. Only if the Rosh Yeshiva, the Telz of Rosh Yeshiva, would say something, then I could go ahead and respond and talk to him about it. But otherwise, it was a quiet walk. Once we were walking together, and the Telz of Rosh Yeshiva told me, I'm thinking to myself that when I reach Olam HaEmes, I'm not going to get schar for Maseches Nedarim that we're sitting and learning now, because the delight and the geshmak, the only goal that I have from learning Nedarim with the Ran is so geshmak. I'm enjoying it so much. How could I possibly be rewarded for this learning in the Olam HaEmes? This is what he said to Rav Matcha Gifter. So I answered him. I said, maybe fakert. The fact that you're toiling and getting such a geschmack, it's from your toil in Torah. Of course, you're going to get even more, a greater schar in the Olam HaEmes. And the Shiva, Rav Yitzchak Bloch, he said he smiled and laughed, and we kept walking with quietness. That was the conversation. He said, sometime later, I found by Rabbeinu Avraham in Ahor, in Maseches Nedarim, that he mamash says what I told him. And he quoted the Matcha Gifter, what Rabbeinu Avraham in Ahor says. What does he write? Mitzvah's limud, the mitzvah of learning Torah, who inyan tzir halev, it's a visualization of your heart, putting yourself in your sugyo, the idea of the MS, trying to find truth. Ikar hatzivu hu, the main tzivu that Hashem wants from us, is kiladei letzayir emes, to visualize the truth of what the Torah is teaching us. Ulis anig v'lehonais, says Rabbeinu Avraham in Ahor, to get a delight and a hano, a pleasure, bimada, in the learning that you're doing, l'sameach levovoi v'sichloi, that you should have such rejoicing in your heart and your seichel, k'dechsiv, like the pasuk says, pikudei Hashem yishorim misamche lev, words of Torah actually are misamech, they give you joy. Umishum hachi, Zok Rabbeinu Avraham in Ahor, that's why Ovel also licorous betoira. Why is an Ovel also in Talmud Torah? Mipnei Shem Samchim Liboy al Karchai. Against his will, it does give you joy. Against your will, even if you're not even looking for that. Hilkuk, therefore, Ovel's also in it. And therefore, he says, Leshayach Lameimar, the mitzvah's Talmud Torah, the loinitin lohanis. You can never say by Limud Torah that mitzvahs lav l'hanis nitnu, it's not given to have a no, you're not allowed a banana from it. Because ikr mitzvasai, the mitzvah of Torah is, the mitzvah that Hashem gave us is hano v'tainuk, a pleasure and a delight. What you come and understand in your sukkah. And this is what Rabbi Gifter said over many times in Telz Cleveland. When he used to give his shmuzim, he used to say over this story, how Talmud Torah is about the Simcha. That's what Pekudi Hashem is Yishor Misamche Leiv. So, in this halacha on Shulchan Aruch, Mishnichlas Adam Arab Misimcha, I take a found, said over Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein says, you know how Yoytze Vizchiev Mishnichlas Adam Arab Misimcha? Zucker Moshe Feinstein, the words I saw brought down were, he said over this mamash this pasuk, Pikudei Hashem Yisharim B'Sam Chelev, the only documented simcha that we know really exists here in Olam Hazeh is what this pasuk brings down, that Torah gives simcha, and therefore, if Chazal or Machayev was to be marbim b'simcha, so Rav Moshe Feinstein, the Posek Hador, that means you have to be marbim in your Torah. This is what he brought down. So Lanias Daiti, I think, this is a very large, very open statement that he's making. Be marbe in Torah just means in your whole life of Torah. It lav dafka means you have to be adding an extra seder. It doesn't dafka mean to increase in your actual learning. Let me just say, I think it's lav dafka. It means your whole Torah life. Somewhere in your Torah life, because your Torah life is what gives you simcha, and therefore Chazal are telling you, marbe b'simcha means turn up the dial in your Torah life. Whether you actually do it with learning or anything else in your Torah life and how you learn or your appreciation for Torah or your chashivas at Torah, whatever it is, if your Torah life increases and you turn the dial from 5 to 10, you will have added simcha in the Chodesh of Adar more than you ever experience. Because true simcha comes from Torah, period. That Rav Moshe Feinstein is telling us. In practicality, Lanias Daiti, I think it's a very all-inclusive type of idea. Lav dafka just meaning to say you have to add a seder. And Rav Moshe Feinstein was telling you, okay, now I have 4 sedarim a day. You know, a great remez to this point that we're discussing is a pasuk in last week's parasha, Parashas Mishpatim, a famous pasuk. Ayin tachas ayin, shein tachas shein, yod tachas yod, regel tachas regel. In Mazik, the pasuk brings down an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a hand for a hand, a foot for a foot. Rabbeinu Ephraim says, the Rosh Tevis of all these 4 things, ayin, shin, yud, resh, osir. Zok Rabbeinu Ephraim, that we're so mistaken how we think what rich is. If you have an eye, and you have an ear, and you have teeth, you have hand, foot, you have all the basic body parts that enhance your life, you are rich. We think rich is a tally in how much money is in your bank account or in your wallet. And that's a big mistake, and the Torah is being meramis to you. Ashirus, Oshir. Is if you have an ayin and a shein and a yad and a regel. Usually we don't realize this until Rachman al-Islam, one of them becomes limited. Rachman al-Islam, a person breaks his arm and all of a sudden, for a long time, he has to wear a cast. He can't even use both arms. Or he sprains his ankle and he's wearing a boot or something. Or he has to go around in one of the scooters. All of a sudden he starts realizing, you know what the gift of having feet is? Or the gift of having your hands? Or if you have eyesight problems, whatever it is, a person then realizes, you know something? If I taka have my eyes and my teeth and my hands and my feet, I'm taka an asher. Just past week, someone gave me a saying, unbelievable. Some people are so poor, they only have money. I'm going to take a line. Some people are so poor, they only have money. It's rachmanas on them. To be a real usher, it's simple, not from your bank account. And that's really what we're seeing here. Simcha is not coming from your olam hazeh. Simcha is really coming from your Torah life. Now let's talk a little open, a little blunt, but maybe, you know, sometimes it's good. We're all physical people, and we're living in a physical world. The word Torah, by many of us, is a very threatening word. Many of us, our insides turn when we hear the word Torah. Torah is a scary word, a threatening word. And you know, the reason is, by the way, is because as physical people, if to acquire Torah takes Yegiah and Amelus, a lot of toil, an old Torah, a yoke of Torah. So as a physical person, the physical person wants to sit back and relax. And if the nature of acquiring Torah is this tough conditions of Amelus and Yegiah and toil and all that, the Taka feels threatening. And it almost becomes a scary word to ever use when you talk about Torah. It's like, oh, that yoke that I got to put on my neck. And also the reality is that Torah is so unlimited. No matter how good I learn, there's so much more to do, so I always feel overwhelmed by it. So Torah becomes a scary word inside that too. We have a terrible misconception in the word of Torah. And specifically now in Chodesh Adar is the time to uproot that misconception. Torah is the sweetest word that you have in your life. And I'll explain to you that and what I mean. There's a famous Ramchal in Derech Hashem, where the Ramchal writes about Talmud Torah. He says, from the greatest hashpois that Hashem gives to all creations, there's one hashpo that He bestows upon us that's a greater hashpo of a gift that He's bestowing more than any other hashpo. El yoyna mikol hashpois. In yonuhu yoysa yokor. The inyan of that hashpo is more precious umu'ula from everything you can find possibly in this world. A person's, Hashem gives you hashpo of parnosa, Hashem gives you a hashpo of family, hashpo of a tranquil home, all the hashpois that you could dream of in your life, that you feel like Hashem's mashpia baruch Hashem, something on you. This is the greatest hashpo, Dr. Ramchal, hainu, the hashpo that He gives you, which the Hashpo is Tachlis Masha'ef Shishimati Mintzois. It's the greatest and the purpose of anything you can find in reality of here in Olam Hazeh. And it's a Me'en of the Metzias Amiti of Shlo Yisbarach. A Me'en of having Hashem Himself. That's the Hashpo, what it is. Yikor U'mailo Me'en Amitas Maloso Yisbarach. It's a Me'en of the Rabbeinu Shlo. Hu Mashem Chalik Odon Yisbarach Shemo. It's this that Hashem dishes out. And He bestows mikvoidoy v'yikaroy el bruah. He gives of Himself to each creation. And how does He give of Himself? Kosher habayri yisbarach. What is it? Tie this hashpa be'inyan nivra with this creation. Who are Torah? The Rabbeinu Shlom created a Torah that through the Torah, that's how He's giving of Himself to you. You're taking in Hashem into your life when you have Torah. Which means the sweetest gift that Hashem bestows upon a Yid, more than his money and his family and his friends and his home and his car and everything else you could dream of in the Olam Hazedika life, is the gift that Hashem gives of Himself to you, and that's through the means of Torah. If Hashem gives Himself to us, we can understand we have in ourselves through our Torah kol tov, every goodness possible. Because Hashem HaKol Yochol is giving you some essence of HaKol Yochol. So it's contrary to common belief. People think it's over-exaggerated when people say, oh, just learn Torah, it's going to give you the solution to everything. Everything people say, oh, just learn Torah, Torah will be your solution. And people feel like, come on, it's exaggerated, it's not like that, how could it be? But the answer is, it's beyond your comprehension. Because if Hashem is above our human comprehension, and Hashem is above nature, and if you're getting that through your Torah, that Hashem is coming into you, you're getting a piece of Hashem when you learn Torah in you. So through your Torah, you're getting a Metzius. Yeah, that's beyond comprehension. me share with you a Gemara in Ervin on Nun Da'al Amar Aleph. Hear this Gemara and you'd realize how pathetic it is for a person to be threatened by the word Torah. Torah scary? Why should it be like that? Listen to the Gemara in Ervin. Om Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, ha-mahalach ba-derech, ve-eini moi levoyah. You're going on the road and you have no one to escort you. You're a little frightened. You're driving through the Bronx. Yasuk batoyro shenema, and he brings a pasuk. Be oisik in toyro and you'll have protection. Chosh biroisho, you have a headache. Yasuk batoyro shenema, and he quotes a pasuk. You're in pain, learn toyro. You have a headache, learn toyro. Chosh bigroin, you have a throat ache. Yasuk batoyro shenema, and he brings a pasuk. A toyro is a solution. Chosh batzmoisov, your bones are hurting you. Yasub g'toyra shenema, he brings a pasuk. Chosh b'chol kufo, you have pain all over. Yasub b'toyra shenema, because the pasuk says, l'chol b'sori marpe, toyra heals your whole being. If you don't believe this gemara, you're touching on kfira. This is black and white for Chazal. This is the basics of our amuna in belief of Torah. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yehuda bar Chiya, Reb Chiya, Bo yirei, Shaloi kemidas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, midas basav adam. Hashem acts different than people. Midas basav adam, noisin sam l'chavei. If you give someone a medicine, so sometimes the medicine's good, sometimes the medicine doesn't work and it's not good. Sometimes the medicine's bitter. It's always depending on what type of medicine and all that the doctor is prescribing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Eino Kein, Nosan Toiro L'Yisrael, Sam Chayim L'Chol Gufay. Says Rabbi Yehuda Reb Chiya, Hashem gave us Toiro, and when you have Toiro, it's the medicine for your whole being. It's a solution to it all. It solves all issues. This is the reality of what it is when we have Torah. You know, the generation before us actually even used the Torah to solve every dilemma. Just the generation before us. There was such a thing as a Goyel Hagra. Goyel Hagra means there was a Mesorah that the Vilna Gaon gave over, that if you're uncertain of what to do, there's a Mesorah of how you do it, you turn some pages in the Chumash this way and that way and all that, and you find the Pasuk based on the Cheshbon of how many pages this way and that way, right to the left, and it ends up on a Pasuk, and that Pasuk is the answer to your dilemma. And I saw brought down Rav Aaron Cutler, 1930s, less than 100 years ago. Before he came to Lakewood, to America, he had a yeshiva in Kletsk. He's a Rosh Yeshiva in Kletsk. And they were struggling with Parnassah. He didn't know what to do. All the other Rosh Yeshivas, Rav Baruch Ber was known, he came to America to raise funds. Rav Chanan came to America to raise funds. Rav Shemeshkov came to America to raise funds. So he was debating, maybe I have to just go to America to raise money to support the yeshiva in Kletsk. But Lamaisi understood that if I leave and go to America, there could be many, many months without shir. I'm not going to be Ma'arvitz Torah. And then he was giving shir every day to go stop giving shir and go a few months to America. It's a very big expense. Is that the right thing to do? He wasn't sure. So he decided to do a Goyel Hagra. He did a Goyel Hagra and it came out to the Pasuk, Emor el Aroin kach es matcha. A Pasuk in Parshas Vayera. Tell Aaron, take his stick. So he thought, oh, that probably means take my stick and travel out to America. But he didn't feel 100% certain. Take a stick. Maybe means take a stick and stay right here. Give shir. I don't know. So he wasn't 100% certain. So he did a second Goyel Hagra. After thinking about it for a while, he did a second Goyel Hagra. And it came out to Apostolic and Vayigash. Ki lule hismamonu ki ata shavnu ze pamayim. This is what the conversation that he had with Yaakov Avinu, that if you wouldn't have procrastinated and delayed, you could have returned twice already in regard to sending Yosef Atzadik to Mitzrayim. So Aaron Kotler got the message that the Rebbeinu Shlomo, the Torah is telling him, go to America and raise money. And he taka went and collected. He was there for 11 months. So brought down of Elio Dessler, Michtam Elio. He was Mekabel for the Chafetz Chaim, the Messiah, how to do the Geir Lagro. Chafetz Chaim taught him how to do Geir Lagro. So there was a period of time where he was clearing about changing the limud in the Kolim in Eretz Yisrael. He wanted to make a mapecha of how to do the learning. It was obviously, without the details not being brought down, but there was a mahalach of what was being done, and he wanted to change that mahalach. And he wasn't sure if it was the right thing or not. Back and forth, he decided he's going to use the girl of Grot to find out the answer. He had a messiah for the Chafetz Chaim how to do it. He did a girl of Grot, and it came out to the pasuk, Hishamru lochem alois bahor v'negeya b'tkotzei. Watch yourself. Don't rise onto the mountain, like Kabbalah's Torah says this. Don't touch even the edge of the mountain. So he got the message very clear. The Ilam was learning Torah, I'm not changing the Messiah. The point being is that we don't realize, just a generation before us, it could be these people in this generation that know how to do it too, that I don't know about. But just a generation before us, they knew how to use the Geul HaGra, the Torah itself answered all their questions. Not only Torah being the refuah for it all, but even things that they didn't see in the Torah to be refuah, it answered the dilemmas. You know, I was recently told a great story that happened too long ago. There was a furniture store in Bnei Brak. And Eretz Yisrael is very normal, very, very common. That the way the stores are, since there's such small quarters inside there, they display all the stuff outside. Very common. So a furniture store was bringing out, you know, all the couches and tables and chairs, a lot of furniture was out on the sidewalk. And it was very good for business because people see what you scary you have. It gets purchases to come. The Maisa, the people in the building, very nice, you have your store on the first floor. We live on the upper floors. It was very difficult to get to the front door to get into the building. You're busy maneuvering around all the furniture to get into your apartment, to get to the front door of the building. So they were very fatinit, and they spoke to the guy, and the guy, the Shemaifa, didn't want to change. And they decided at the end to bring him to a Din Torah. And they went to Rav Nissim Karelitz Atzal, his Beis Din, to present the Tzadim, the businessman came also, the store owner, and they presented it to the Beis Din, what's right. He heard both Tzadim, and Rav Nissim Karelitz said, the emes is, all the residents in the building are correct. Really, you don't have the right to fill up the whole sidewalk and do that. But I believe, he turned to the residents and said, that this is the type of thing you should be mevater in. End of the day, you don't want to ruin his business. He's making a parnosah, his livelihood. And I believe you should be mevater, and in that schus, you're going to have a lot of bracha and shmir in your life. And that's the psak that he gave. So most of the residents were fine with that. There was one resident that really couldn't go ahead and be slave of such a thing. What a chutzpah! I'm mechuyev to go ahead and dodge all your furniture. Doesn't sound right. I don't understand. But after a few days of thinking about it, he decided, you know what? The Meister, Mr. Karelitz from the Gedolei Hador, the Poiskei Hador, he paskin that this is what should be. I'm ready to accept his psak. This is the Ratzon HaTorah. A few weeks later, he's on his fourth floor apartment, and he was sitting and eating supper with his wife. And all of a sudden, they look up and they realize that 3-year-old's not in the playroom. What happened to him? Wasn't he just playing? Why is she in the playroom? What's going on? So they quickly jump up frantic and start looking around the room to find where Moshe is. And they're looking around the house, and they mamash can't find him. And they can't imagine what happened to Moshe. All of a sudden, they chap, you know, someplace, the one place we don't look is to open the door to the marpeset. Now, it's early, you have a door, you go out to the outside porch. And they open the door to the marpeset, and there Moshe is on the rail, and literally he was dangling over, holding with one hand, dangling down 4 stories high. And the father got so scared when he saw him, he goes, he gave a yell, and Rachman al-Tzlan, the kid let go. He got so scared, he let go. And there he is falling down four flights of stairs, four flights of a building. The father goes running out of this building and runs down the staircase to go see what happens. And he comes down and the store owner is holding a smiling three-year-old. He can't imagine what happened. And the store owner says, he came down four flights of stairs and landed on the couch and bounced up and landed on the couch and it saved his life. Because he followed the Ratzon HaTorah. This resident who didn't want it, but he said it's Ratzon HaTorah, this is the Pesach, I'm going to follow the Torah. It saved his own kid's life. We have to realize how far-reaching Torah is. We get so scared by the word of Torah, but it's the sweetest thing that the Rabbi Shalom gives us from all the gifts that he bestows upon a yid in his life. There's a maisa, Shmuel Orbach said over this story. He himself said, "Ish mipi ish," from the one that it happened to. So this is as verified as it is, although it can be hard to believe. Shmuel Orbach said like this. He said, "The Ziknei Yerushalayim, there was a kmiya. They say in English, the amulet. In those days, it was a very common thing. And a kamiya is that you have a necklace with a little pouch, and in it is usually such shameless hakdoshim and all that, and it heals the people that wear it. It's a very known thing that they used to have. So there was this kamiya that was going around Yerushalayim at the time, where this kamiya had in it a power that mamash was saving everybody from the craziest things. Literally, a person could be diagnosed with Yeramachla on his deathbed, and he put on this necklace, and he was healed. He's walking around already. Crazy yeshuas were happening with this powerful kameya. So the yid that it was passed down to was so curious, the one that got it, the next generation, was so curious what it is. What does it say in this kameya? What type of shameless were used? But the rule always is, everybody knew, the Messiah was, that if you open up a kameya, it loses its power. You can't just close it up anymore, it's done. So, it's a big risk, like why would you want to open it up and ruin the power that's just healing everybody? But his curiosity took him over, and he really wanted to see what this kameya was. And this kameya was known that it was written by the Taz. The Halakha Taz that we have in Shulchan Aruch, that's the Masorah of this kameya came from. So he figured, you know something? Nothing wrong with me opening it up, because whatever shameless are there, I'll go to the makubo, the local makubo that we have, and I'll write the same shameless, and hopefully it'll give the same power that Taz had when he wrote those shameless or whatever it is. This is what he figured. His curiosity took him over. He opened it up, and he had the shock of his life. Zakam Shmuel Orbach, what it said in the kameya was, simple, two lines. Ribbono shel olam. The Taz wrote on a piece of paper, "Rabbeinu Shalayla, ten Yeshua ubracha lenoise kameya zeh. Give the Yeshua some bracha to whoever's wearing this kameya. Bischus ha'amol shamalti lahavin is divrei ha'taisvus. In the schus that I was toiling to understand the words of taisvus, the meseches chulin daf tzadivav." Which means he had one time that he toiled on a taisvus. He's trying to figure out the first Taisvus of Pesach Pesuach, Lamashal. And he's toiling to understand that Taisvus. The Taz wrote a kameya that the schus of my toil should heal the person that's wearing this necklace. And that was the most powerful kameya that Klal Yisrael knew of, more than all the shameless akadoshim that were written. And what did it say in there? It didn't even say the chedushim that the Taz came up with. He wrote the omel that he put into Taisus, period. Do we realize the gift that we have when we can sit down and learn Torah? Do we realize the power that we carry? You toil on a Taisus, the first one of Pesach Pesuach, a hard Taisus, that amelus, without chidushim. The Taz said, the amelus that I toiled on Taisus, chulin daf tzadivah. No chidushim, it was mechadish. He didn't solve all Shulchan Aruch based on that Taisus. The toil, period. We don't realize the gift of what it means to have Torah. And Torah is a scary word. We feel threatened by Torah. Torah is the sweetest word that you have in your vocabulary. Chazal tell us in a medrash in Parashas Kisisa, we all know a Moshe Rabbeinu went up Arborim Yoim on the Har Lechem Le'Ochol Mayim Le'Shasa. He went up to Shemayim to Mekabel the Torah. The Medrash asks a question that you would never ask because you know you're not supposed to ask this. But the Medrash asks it, so maybe you're allowed to ask it. Me'ayin hoyo Moshe Eichel. Moshe is a human being, a physical individual. What did he eat that kept him alive? Hazai frek the Medrash. You know what the Medrash answers, Yitzi? No? I bet you could guess. Says the Medrash, Me'ayin hoyo Moshe Eichel? The answer is min ha-Torah. He ate the Torah. Shenebar, he quotes a pasuk in Yecheskel, ben adam asher es asher timtza achol v'oichlo. Whatever you have in front of you, should eat. And the Medrash explains, because Torah, it says, besukim edvash v'noif v'tzufim. Torah is so sweet, sweeter than honey. So he filled himself up with Torah, and that's how he survived. They bring down a story, Shmuel Orbach said over this Maisa, with Maril Diskin. The Maril Diskin was on his bed, it was on Yom Kippur, and he was very, very weak and sick. He couldn't move. Everybody was very frightened, what's going to be? Maril Diskin, Shualeib. They called the doctor in, and the doctor said, he doesn't have any disease, he just has no more kaychas, because I guess he's fasting, he has no more kaychas. But it's not, there's no real disease. But Lamaisi was in a very serious condition. He noticed, one of the brother-in-law that was there, noticed that the Maril Diskin was without, he couldn't really move, but he was motioning to come over. So he went over to the Maril Diskin, and he bent down to hear what he wants. And he heard that he started asking him a kasha. He was asking him a kasha on Bava Kama. So he asked the kasha to him, so he started giving him an answer. So then all of a sudden, Maril Diskin started talking and started answering back to him. And they started having a whole conversation. And a few moments later, he sat up on his bed. And a few moments later, he even stood up and started jumping and talking to him and learning and finding out the shaila he had in Bava Kama. Literally, a kiyum of this chazal, that although he was without any kaychas whatsoever, the Torah itself fed him the nutrients and the sustenance that the Melech made him alive when he was deathly ill on his bed. And the emes is, it's a befeirish arachayim HaKadosh. If you look at Parashat Akremos, on a pasuk in Tehillim, the pasuk says, Toyroscho b'soich meyak. In Perek Mem, the Torah that's in your stomach, listen to the words of the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, Pirush. What this means is, L'roiv cheshek avoidas HaKadosh. A person has a yearning and a desire for avoidas HaKadosh. You could come to a point, at shemargish b'loimdoi Torah Hashem, when you learn Torah, you're going to feel kilu oichel, as if you're eating, u'memalei b'nei meyav mimozon tivi. And you just filled yourself up that you're not hungry anymore to eat lunch. You could reach a madrega of your Torah, and that was Maril Diskin's madrega, that your learning actually fills you up, that you're not hungry anymore. As I stated in Arachayim HaKadosh. This is the metzias of Torah that the Rabbeinu Shalom gave a Yid. He gave Klal Yisrael. So now, is the word pathetic the right word? I think it is. To be frightened from Torah, and because Torah is so hard to acquire, and we got to toil at it, it becomes such a threatening word, is literally pathetic. It's the sweetest thing we possibly have from the Rabbeinu Shloim, the greatest gift, the biggest excitement, and what gives us true simcha is the Torah that we have available for us. I saw brought down, there was a Yid from Yerushalayim that went and traveled to be in Lublin for Rosh Hashanah. And he was zeicha to go to Rav Tzadik HaKoyen. Before Tekiya Shofar, he saw Rav Tzadik HaKoyen leave and step out. They said there's a small break now till the Rebbe is ready. And he couldn't imagine what's he going to do in the side room. Why can't we just be mabshut, right? Tekiya Shofar. So, like the story is brought down, this yid from Yerushalayim had the azos of a yid in Yerushalayim. And therefore, he opened the door and peeked on Rav Tzadik HaKoyen. Because the regular people in Lublin would never do that. He opened the door to see what he's doing. And he sees Rav Tzadik HaKoyen over his Shulchan Aruch, and he was harving on a shach with a ketzois. He was harving in Chayesh HaMishpat over a shach and a ketzois. And breaking his head. And he walked away with such a message. He couldn't believe the hachana before Tekiya Shofar. How am I going to be zoicha and din? We can imagine what type of tshuva we think we need. What type of musa we need. What type of kabbalas we need. Rav Tzadik HaKoyen understood. You know what I need? Just to harvin some taira. Sit and harvin a shach and a ktsois. And then he came in. He was ready for Tekiya Shofar. Do we realize the gift of taira? Do we realize what the Rabbi Nishan gives us? When he gives us Torah, Torah is so magical, it's beyond our comprehension. We view Torah in our physical sense of what it is, black and white. So Rabbi, if I have a headache, why should I learn Torah? How's Torah going to help the headache? Torah is magical, it's beyond your comprehension. If Hashem can help your headache, because he's HaKol Yachol, through Torah you're bringing Hashem into you. We have to be so careful the way we speak. In our kfira, keneged taira, we don't realize the gift. And that's the mishenichnas ador marbe mesimcha. Mishenichnas ador, you have to be marbe mesimcha. There's one thing that's real simcha in life when you have a tairidika life. You know, you look around Lakewood, it's unbelievable. The simple yugaman in Lakewood lives a fancier life, a beautiful home, beautiful car, and everything that he has. Then people that have, they don't have a pruta to the name, and most people don't have a pruta to the name, they live in apartment buildings, you go anywhere else in communities. It's clear and evident. You open your eyes, you see what the gift of Torah is giving to people. Torah is misborich, it mamish benches them. That the most simple human mind, you drive around to all these communities, all over Lakewood, spreading out all over, and the most simple human light who have no money to their name, but they're still living in a beautiful home with a car and everything. Which people elsewhere who have that means will never be zeicha to that. And the answer is that Torah is giving them the gifts. Torah gives beyond our comprehension the brachas and atzlochas of life. And that's why Chodesh Adar is a yom, is a chodesh. All the yomim, 30 days of such yeshuas, such bracha and atzlocha and siman tov. People have court dates, they're supposed to push it off to Chodesh Adar, and surgeries and everything. Chodesh Adar, why? Because Chodesh Adar is a time when your marbe b'simcha means you turn up your dial and your notch of your Talmud Torah, your life of Torah, your approach to Torah, your appreciation of Hashivas HaTorah. Lav Davka has to be an extra Seder, but your approach to Torah has to be a whole new level. And then if you have real Torah, you'll feel the Simcha. Just end. See, it's so late. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, Zatzal. Yeshiva Baranovich used to say over that he heard it from the Chavetz Chaim's mouth. And we'll end with this. The Chavetz Chaim used to always say, and we all know how true it is, the Yetzer Hara, when he attacks us, somehow it's always in our learning. Somehow, when we're sitting and learning, that's when all the thoughts come to head of all the things we've got to take care of, and all our pains start coming, and everything. It's always better learning. You know what the Rebbe Chanan said over that he heard with his own ears from the Chavetz Chaim? This is what the Chavetz Chaim said. The Yetzer Hara art nicht, a Yitzol fasten, und weinen, und davenen. A ganze Tag, a bi nicht lernen. Says the Chavetz Chaim in English. The Yetzer Hara doesn't care A Yid could fast all day. He could cry all day in tefillah. A whole day he could be busy with ruchnias. Just don't learn Torah. That's the focus of the Yetzer Hara. One thing he wants to attack is your Torah. You know why? Because your Torah is the greatest gift you have. And we have to change the misconception, the mindset of being threatened. B'nai Torah are the greatest people in Klal Yisrael. And Torah is the greatest gift that every individual Yid has in Klal Yisrael. And Torah is literally the source of all our bracha and hatzlacha. We have a 2-3 days till Mishnechlas Adar. That Adar begins, your Marvin Besimcha, the Rebbeinu Shel should bench us all, that we should have the ability to turn up that dial of Simcha with our life of Torah, turn it up to 10, and you're talking to have an enhanced life of Marvin Besimcha.